Mike's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. I'd be a little more game day ready if not for that weather delay last night. It took a lot out of me, that weather delay. I felt like I had to, I was already pot committed for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was going to be late. And I really didn't even want to turn it off because I might miss the resumption of the game. Like, I didn't even want to sort of watch an Office episode or anything like that.
Sure.
And so I sat there through all the talking, DoorDash, which can be regrettable at 11:30.
Yes, almost always. Yes.
Almost always
regrettable.
And then I didn't see another point.
I feel like I won. Because I was determined to stay up and stay up I mean stay downstairs. I ended up last year watching a lot of these night games, the back end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter in bed, but I stayed awake and watched them. Last night I was like, I'm just gonna stay down here. It's the first game of the year, and you know, I can sleep in tomorrow. I got no obligations, you know. I like to get up and exercise, but whatever, I can manage. And then the delay happens. I'm like, all right, I'm going upstairs. And in the couple of minutes that it took me to just sort of get everything together, let the dog out, get him his nightly treat and everything.
Nightly treat.
Yeah, he gets a little biscuit at the end of the last time out of the house at night, he gets a biscuit.
All right.
Very routine. He very much looks forward to it. He goes to a spot in the kitchen waiting for me to go get the bag of treats and whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so whatever that took, 5 minutes, 8 minutes. I get upstairs and didn't go to the game right away. I looked at Twitter, and they'd already said the game was expected to resume around 11:30. This is maybe 10 to 11 or so.
Yep.
And I went, I'm out. I am not going to sit here for 40 minutes scrolling and doing Lord knows what, putting parlays together for the weekend. I'm just going to go to bed. And I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and really wanted to know, like, what I had parlays on the game. I wasn't super optimistic, but whatever. Wanted to see what happened.
You already had two Javonte Williams in your pocket.
I had that. And I had a Barkley touchdown, and I needed another, and I needed a Cowboy win.
Mm.
And so, you know, 4:30 in the morning, all right, what happened?
It was live.
And yeah, I was alive, but it didn't keep me awake. I'm going to sleep. Didn't even give it another thought. And when I looked at my ESPN app, the score, I'm like, 24-20? That was the score when it got delayed.
Did they resume the game?
Yeah, I'm thinking, is this a controversial, did they just call it and they couldn't continue it? I've never seen that happen in the NFL. I don't know what would happen. But yeah, it turns out they did finish the game, just nothing, no points were scored. So I don't really know I looked at the drives, and I guess there's a CeeDee Lamb drop that hurt.
There were three in the game.
Okay.
One was earlier, but there were a couple of – yeah. I mean, Prescott was incredible in this game.
He had a great game.
The stats don't do him justice at all. And Lamb got over 100 yards anyway.
Yeah.
But he could have had 200 if he just caught the ball, and that didn't happen.
So I got paid off, I feel like, going to sleep.
I guess. You're in the lead.
I got rested.
I mean, for a game to be 24-20 – that early. I mean, it was 21-20 at half. The total for this game was like 46. And it was 41 points at half. I saw from Joe and Sam this morning, like, it is very unusual for a game with that kind of first half to not get to the over. That might be the second one ever or something since they've been tracking it that didn't get to 47 points from a 41-point first
half. Yeah, when I made the decision to not watch it anymore, I thought there could be four more touchdowns in this game before it's over. The way the first half had gone, and it was – Was it about midway through the third quarter when they hit the delay? I don't remember
how
late it was.
Yeah, like 5 minutes left in the third.
Okay. So there could still be fireworks here, but, again, 40 minutes, I'm not waiting.
No.
But I was really stunned to see 24-20 when I woke up.
I mean, Dallas had a look at it. They don't win. That's how it starts the 2025 season. Before we get too far into the season, second game tonight, Bills and Ravens Sunday. Would you be up for a final preseason edition of the reverse AFC power rankings? We've done one in like a month, and I feel like I've let people down. Most notably the people at Empire Electric, who pay to be mentioned when we ever do the power rankings, and we've not done them very often. Let's see how things look going into the season. Last night's game won't matter, as it was NFC teams. It's time now for the reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Okay. How are these teams going to stack up here on the cusp of the season? Kansas City and the LA Chargers tonight. I still want to say San Diego. 16.
I'm going to say Cleveland.
I will too. Cleveland.
What a smooth start.
I'm taking Cincinnati in Survivor.
Okay, well, there you go.
Somehow I woke up today and I have 8 Survivor entries.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think Cincinnati is my favorite because everybody knows now how slowly they start. I think in the last 6 years, they're 1-11 in their first 2 games. All Zach Taylor. So they played their guys in the preseason this year. I feel like that's baked into the analysis of this game. And, I mean, it's Flacco and not Shedeur Sanders at quarterback for the Browns, like a little bit more credibility. But I feel like Cincinnati, off of the last two frustrating years where their defense just did not hold up, especially last year, I want to think they'll be ready to go Sunday. But they went to Cleveland a couple years ago, and they had like 2 yards for the game. I mean, it was a disaster. So I'm on board. It's top of mind for me right now. The Browns are bad.
I'm really interested. I mean, I don't need to go long on the Bengals here because they're not the team selected here. It's their opponent in week 1. I'm just really curious to see one of the most consistently talked about units in the league has been the Bengal defense, and it's almost universal. They are going to be terrible. Who's playing Jeremy Kahn early this week? Like, who even are these guys? And I'm just really interested to see if it is really that bad. You know, it's the NFL. Like, I just feel
it's
like
defense.
Something could just tip that on its head, and I don't think they'll be great. I don't think everyone will be that wrong. I'm not even excluding myself here. I mean, I'm a part of that. When we talk about the Bengals, you sort of bake in the, well, can they stop anyone? But I don't know. If they could be middle of the pack, to me, they could really give the Ravens a run for the money in the division. And I don't know. I wouldn't bet against them being in the middle of the pack.
You've got Hendrickson in, Shamar Stewart. You know, there's peace right now with the Bengals.
Yeah.
Maybe there's enough talent to not do them in.
But anyway, Cleveland is in tough, I think.
Cleveland, they'll get Judkins, it sounds like, but not for this game, it would seem. And so what when they do, maybe? Unless he's just so good. Rookie running back out of Ohio State. 15.
I'll go Tennessee here. I just don't think that there's enough there
Jets.
For Cam Ward to, okay, let me stand down and get out of the way
Stop
talking about the Titans. No, I love it. When you ding the Jets.
Never happens.
That just feels really good.
I want to hear your Cam Ward take.
Well, I'll get there when Tennessee actually gets selected. I don't know. Zach can split the tie here. I did say Tennessee.
I kind of want to go Tennessee here. I like Ward and pretty much nothing else there.
Right. That's where I'm at. I just don't think there's enough help. And however good he may end up being, I think it's going to be really hard for him to demonstrate a lot of that in year one. I just don't think that there's much there. So, all right, Tennessee.
14.
Now I'm cool with the Jets.
I'll go Jets, yeah. I'm already thinking about Aaron Glenn for next week, for when you make your weekly trip into, hey, Bulldog, tell me how much you hate Aaron Glenn. I'm working over here. I don't know how much. I haven't gotten much traction yet.
What would happen this week for you to hate him? Maybe if he's like a lunatic on the sideline. That tends to be a turnoff to fans of other teams.
See, the problem with working myself into a I hate Aaron Glenn spot is going to be that his introduction really to the NFL was how he handled Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
You like that.
And I mean, of course, you know, some of you were out there following his career as a coordinator and whatever. As a head coach, he shows up in New York and he treated Aaron Rodgers the way I think Aaron Rodgers deserved to be treated. So I like that, but I'm going to have to put that over on a shelf. And so it's some, but I'm Googling Aaron Glenn, just so you know, trying to find some stuff.
All right. There's always something.
Sure, right.
I have a lot of Justin Fields in fantasy. I hope I can suck out on that by his running. That was the thesis of the play. If he's improved as a passer, and somehow the Jets, by basically just having Garrett Wilson and Mason Taylor, a rookie tight end, I guess, as like bona fide weapons, if Taylor even is one, it's a kind of a long shot. And likewise with the Browns play and the Bengals, I'm with Pittsburgh right now in that game at the Jets on Sunday, thinking that that's a serious defense. It's been a serious franchise, and the Jets are a completely unserious franchise. No matter how serious Glenn is. So, yeah, I mean, what's the betting market going to look like when you look at these teams ranked by win total? The Jets are near the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can like Glenn and be optimistic for him and them now changing a lot about the Jets, but there's always the ownership thing and, like, you know, remember how it felt here when we'd be talking about the Bills for days on end and the dysfunction and Buddy Nix and Marv and whatever, and somebody would call, guys, it's the owner. And be like, yeah, we know. I think the Jets are kind of in that spot. You know, it's hard, I think, to be employed and try to be credible when you, whether it's actually true or not, the impression is out there that, like, Woody Johnson's teenage kids might help him make decisions. And that's not a place you want to be.
Mm. What if they were a little older? Still
a problem.
Jerry's kids are older than
right
me. And look
right
at them.
Jerry's son, Steven, is probably my age.
Yeah. Might be. 13.
Indianapolis.
I think that's a good pick here.
Okay. I was going elsewhere, but okay. 12.
Tell me about this elsewhere.
New England.
You were visiting. Okay.
New England. All my picks here are recency bias picks. Sam's going to come on in 15 minutes and tell us how the Patriots are going to lose to Vegas and how overrated they are. Like, I'm listening to him. It's fresh in my mind. And okay, well, maybe we've gone a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Maybe I've gone a little bit too far hyping a Patriots team that won what last year? 4 games.
I started thinking of I think I'm picking the Raiders in the picks later. I think I have them in a parlay. I got to check to make sure. Yeah, I don't know, a month or two ago, looking at New England's schedule, talking about all these winnable games and the Raiders, the opener being one of them. I was thinking today as I was, you know, getting ready for the show, yeah, like, how many good players do they have, right? They're playing the Raiders, and that's Geno Smith. You got Max Crosby, and I don't know. I'm not ready to – Genty, obviously, in the backfield. I'm not ready to go long on how much the Raiders have, but I just – the list for New England is really short, and maybe their best guy outside of May isn't even going to play in this game, and that's the corner, Gonzalez. So I just don't think they've got a lot of players yet.
Diggs. We'll
right.
See what he is. All right, so New England –
sure.
11. Vegas?
Yeah, right. Can I just
you got to mention Bowers on that list.
Thank you, Bowers. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Right.
Third in the league in catches. Hopefully is a massive investor in Brock Bowers shares in fantasy this year. They don't make him into more of a blocker. Like Chip Kelly, some sort of dream about Genty and Pete Carroll running the ball all the time, and they rein in Bowers. I hope not. There is that possibility, I think, as good as he is. They've said some of the things you want to hear about Bowers, like how talented he is, but I don't know. I could see them running two tight ends a lot and, you know, trying to keep games close, which scares me a little bit for him.
How good a blocker is the other guy? The guy
Michael Mayer?
They drafted the year before.
The guy who was supposed to be the first tight end picked the year before when Kincaid was?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Probably pretty good.
All right.
Because he doesn't really catch much yet. I mean, probably pretty good.
Right.
10.
Miami.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Wow. All right. I think I like Jacksonville a lot more than Miami. Although they'll probably be the next team, I would say, if you guys would have agreed with Miami here, but still, you know, the margins can be very slim.
Oh, they can.
I didn't know what to do with I thought about that Carolina-Jacksonville game a couple different times, and I just there's so much new. You know, I just didn't know what to – mostly Jacksonville, new head coach, new offense. Like, I'm just really intrigued what that's going to look like. But Carolina showed really, you know, Bryce Young showed a lot of growth last year. So they might be a lot better than they've been.
They might. 9. Dolphins?
Yes. I'll stay on the Dolphins.
8. Chargers.
I was going to say Pittsburgh.
I'm good with Chargers here. I think that Rashawn Slater injury is really going to affect them.
And now Becton is questionable with an illness for tonight. That's not long-term, you would think, but...
Tonight.
Has there been any talk about what... I saw a footage of the practice field that the Chiefs were going to use that looked just like, I don't know, like an empty lot in Pendleton or something. But is there any word on the... Wasn't the field kind of a thing last year when they played this game?
Yes. Jordan Love got hurt.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about. Maybe that's because they haven't played the game yet. Tonight, I have a feeling. Well, I shouldn't say that because the pregame show probably will barely address it because it's, you know, an NFL production. So they, but I wonder. I'm curious to see what social media, like still shots of guys, you know, feet on the turf and like balls of dirt clumping up.
I'm going to text my friend Pete Overzet, who's on the pregame show tonight for YouTube, and make sure he brings it up.
Okay, thank you for
when
that.
When he does his fantasy analysis, you got to wonder about this field. No, it'll be, who is it, Kurt Warner and maybe Rich Eisen? I'm not sure about that, who's in Brazil. Pete is in L.A. with Derek Carr, Tyrann Mathieu, and Brandon Marshall, which is amazing for him.
Right. I imagine Steve Mariucci will be there with Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen, if that's who that crew
is. I don't think it is, but I'm not sure. I know where to look. Just give me a minute.
All right.
7.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh. Yeah.
They lucked out here. 6.
Houston.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
5. Houston.
Okay.
4. Denver.
Sure.
Denver's always 4. For at least 2 months, Denver has been exactly 4. That's maybe the longest streak in the history of reverse AFC power
rankings. By that result here, all these months, that feels like they are the team closest to toppling someone out of the top 3.
Yes. Or bottomling, in our case.
Thanks, Bulldog, for explaining how
four
rankings
our numbers
work. We appreciate your being so thorough. Listen, it's 20
You're
hours a week.
That four
I'm just trying to, you know.
Comes before 3.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can grasp that.
Indicative of them not being on the level of the 3. I'll stop.
3.
Buffalo.
I'll agree. Kind of the last time we did this, Kansas City came in 1. And I felt like it was more symbolic to me doing that than anything else. Like, the season is starting, or it wasn't even starting August 19th, but they won it. They've won the conference 5 of the last 6 years. And we're going to put them not one? I mean, that seems like a bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they have the best roster, but neither do the Bills.
They keep getting the best results. That's what really matters here. I'm all right with the Bills at 3. At least how it's starting out here. It's a tough week one matchup. Not that that really pertains to the overall rankings, but what are they doing at number 2 corner? You know, just how healthy is the secondary? How ready to go are they? I'm good with them at 3.
2?
I'm going to say Chiefs.
Baltimore.
Kansas City here for me.
So much for that symbolism point.
Yeah.
Ravens at 1. Bulletin board fodder. Do you ever hear the word fodder used in any other way?
Cannon fodder.
Cannon fodder. Okay. Is there like a fodder for a cannon? Is that a physical thing, fodder?
No. What cannon fodder is the people that are sacrificed. You know,
dark turn.
Here come the cannon. Like you, someone's got to do it.
The front line.
Right.
That's cannon fodder.
What cannon fodder is. Yes. Oof,
that took a dark turn. So,
I mean, sorry. I just want to be accurate. I didn't want to pretend like I didn't know what it meant. At least that's what I believe it to mean, and I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure I'm right. But I think those are the only two. I don't.
Mutter and fodder.
Cannon fodder. Bulletin board fodder. I don't know that I've heard any other use of fodder in my life.
Got to be mutter and fodder. If it were a match game, that'd be the $100 answer. Mutter and fodder. $250 would be bulletin board. And cannon probably is number 1. Blank fodder.
Father was a mutter.
Yeah.
Mutter was a... Yeah, I'll stop.
Reverse AFC power rankings. There it is. Final time before the season starts. Powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Sam Paniadovic from Bet Sweats. Next, we'll talk week 1, Bills, Ravens, and whatever else comes up. Matt Schauff today for your fantasy lineups from Draft Sharks. Matt is one of the sharpest guys I have met through fantasy football out of Rochester, and he even knows his defensive guys because Matt plays in more than anyone else I think I know in leagues with defensive players. So should be at least one question when you have Matt on about IDPs. Sal Capaccio as well on this Football Friday. Sam Paniadovic coming up first. It's time for a break. And Bulldog, being that it is Football Friday, our breaks, you know, we put it this way. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.